Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Film Hustlers.
What's up, fools?
Hey, what up?
Film Hustlers.
Film Hustlers.
Film Hustlers.
Oh, you a film hustler.
Film Hustler. All right, so strike's over.
Dude, let's get back to work. I'm ready.
It's amazing. Are people excited? I mean,
yes.
Look, this was about AI.
Yeah.
Right? And I totally get that. Like, once you explained it to me, yeah, I get it. Like, extras are going to be giving up their images forever. I mean, I don't know. Look, I'm not saying it's not a big deal, so I don't want to get a bunch of hate mail. But I think it's less of a deal than people made it. Like,
right.
You know, like an extras image, like, you know, it's not like you're going to put them on a Wheaties box.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Like, I think it was mainly to take chunks of audience and put them somewhere else or something. But anyway, point is that the AI is protected now. You can't use someone's image without paying them. And you can't duplicate it and make a movie with someone's face without paying them.
Is that these are the rules?
Yeah, these are the rules. And the other thing that they won is that now if you're on a Netflix or streaming movie, right, which is Netflix, Amazon, Apple,
Hulu,
if you are on a movie or a series and it's a success, you share residuals in that success. Wow.
Nice.
So wow. Now if it succeeds, you're going to get paid.
Wow.
Right? There's going to be a bonus structure for people that are in movies that are very, very successful.
Is that going forward or is it there's back pay for the...
No, there's never back pay. You negotiate the day you say okay, that's when it starts.
Yeah. Wow.
The pay scale also went up.
Did it really?
Yeah. I don't think it's... Like, look, it's never significant. So
yeah.
I would say maybe it went up $100 or $150. It's not going to be like $1,000.
Right. Just to change with the cost of living, maybe.
Yeah, cost of living is important. Like, you know, you have to... I think the amount of money that they're putting into the pension and health is going to be higher. And that was already high, by the way. That was like in the 30% area.
Wow.
Yeah. So if I pay you $100, I'm paying you $130 to get into your pension and health and all that. I think that's now going to be a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I think that was it. I mean, those were the really highly contested things. Residuals, more pay for the cost of living, and the whole AI thing. Like, I haven't read it yet. I don't know, like, the details of AI, but actors are now protected against the image being used without their knowledge, and streamers are now going to pay if they make an original, and that original... I don't know if this has to do with things that they license. Probably not. But things that are made by the streamer, if it's super successful, you're going to get a bonus or you're going to get more residuals.
That's good. No, that's great. You know what I mean?
And
I think
success,
it's a win.
They should share.
Yeah, it's a win. It's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah.
The streamers still get, I mean, the prices go up. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's how they're getting us. The prices of these streamers went up. But the writers and the actors, they... In success, you make a good movie, you make a good show, you should be rewarded.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Look, I'm really happy that the Writers Guild figured it out. The DJ always figures it out. There's something about directors, you know, they figure that out real fast. And I think it's because it's just one or two. Like, there's never more than one or two directors on a movie.
Yeah.
And really just one.
Yeah.
So you're talking about one person making whatever they're going to make, not...
Yeah.
A bunch of people. Ooh. So then you have WJ, who eventually worked it out too.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's many writers. Now there's many writers in a room. They're going to have a certain amount of writers in each room
yeah.
when you're doing a TV series. So they work that out. And then the actors are the hard part because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
Like all of these different actors on all these different shows and all these different movies making whatever they're going to make. You
background,
know, so.
Standing, and I don't stunts.
Even, yeah, and I don't even principle. Know how much
yeah,
the
exactly.
AI, how much AI could really, like, I saw a trailer, I think I sent it to you, Foos, this AI trailer made for like an action, but it was like... almost like a medieval type of film. Remember I sent it?
Yeah.
And it was cool. It only took him 7 hours. But, you know, there's not a lot. I think people are thinking AI is bigger than it is at this point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because actually a buddy of mine who's a producer really likes this script that I wrote. Roberts, not Roberts. and he really wants to make it. And he put it in one of those AI chats, whatever. I don't forget what it's called. And it the notes that I got back and I read them, it didn't quite understand the human connection in
right.
the story. You know, there was one vital scene that it said, you know, one of the notes was the scene didn't really make sense because it was I forget the wording, but it was almost like it was just jibber jabber. And the scene is so vital because it's filled with information that's going to send my protagonist on his mission, on his journey. He's collecting this information, but it didn't pick that up.
Right. You know what I mean? I think, look, what they're worried about is that AI will, I think David Dave told me this, but I feel like the answer is AI will figure it out. AI will succeed.
Eventually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And because, you know why? Because AI doesn't have a time frame. They're always working on fixing whatever it is that you ask them to do. So like they're 24/7 just working, like, I'm going to figure this out eventually. You're living your life, 10 years pass, and AI goes, oh, I got it. And then they're making a whole movie like with your image on it. So that's what they're worried about. It's not now. So I think, I mean, look, I'm happy that it all worked out. We'll be right back here again in 3 or 4 years, you know, with people complaining about what they're making.
That's true.
It's going to happen. So I'm glad we're through it now. We can all get back to work for a while.
Well, we got 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah, we got
better fucking make some shit happen in 3 years.
We got 3 or 4 years for people to be like, I need more. But I get it. You know, I mean, we all want more for our lives, but the industry is a complicated place right now. Look, I'm not going to defend studios, but I am going to say this because I think it has to be said. Like this, the industry changes so much every day. And if I give you a great example, you won't even believe this, but 13, 14 years ago, maybe 15, less than 15 years ago, we were getting 3 DVDs in our mail.
Yeah.
And turning around and putting them back in the envelope and mailing them back to Netflix. Okay, that was less than 15 years ago. So
it might have been less than 10 years ago.
No, I don't think it was less than 10. But they were still sending DVDs out as of last week. Yeah, like last they're week, starting it. They're the starting to end it. Yeah.
In 2013 we didn't have streamers. I don't think we had streamers in 2013. There was no Netflix.
Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah, dude. No, because
Then it's been like 13 years or 12 or whatever.
10 years.
10 years. So less than 15 for sure.
Yeah.
But to think that was that business and now we're watching it on our TV, we've cut the cord, we're not using internet anymore, cable's going away. I'm talking about an industry that figures out how to share the wealth, right? Like if you had cable, let's just go back to cable for a second. If we just had cable and there was no streaming, every network is getting paid from the cable revenue. So if there's 1 billion people with a cable box, all the networks that are on that cable box have to get paid from the amount of money that you're giving the cable company.
Yeah. Right?
Every network, that's where they get their money, plus advertising, right?
Yeah.
Plus whatever syndication they do. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But then they're like, cut the cord. So now what? Like now you're cutting the cord. Now all this revenue that they were making from us having cable is going away.
It's gone.
And now we have to find a way to get money from YouTube because now they're carrying all these networks. So now every once in a while they get into blows with Disney or whoever or NBC. And they're like, no, you can't show our football games because you're not paying us enough money. So it's all a pay or play thing. So if our industry is trying to figure out from the production side, from the business side, they're trying to figure out how do we make money so we can populate our shows and make our movies and populate our networks. But it keeps changing. So their job is to keep spending money and figuring out how we're going to watch product, how we're going to watch movies, how we're going to watch television. And then they got to figure out how to make money off of that. But if the streams keep changing, they've got to keep throwing money at the business to figure out how to get the money, right? So that they can pay actors and writers and directors to put the media on. But it costs money to do that. You know, Universal's had to reinvent themselves how many times? They had to buy NBC or NBC had to buy them whatever.
Yeah.
To get the stages, to be able to do the tours, to be able to create rides out of the movies. You know, it's all part of the same business.
Yeah.
So sometimes in the process of doing that big business, you kind of forget that you have all these deals with all these other people.
Yeah.
Right? So you figure it out eventually. I don't think anyone's blaming anyone, but I just want to point out that these big companies have to keep putting out large sums of money to figure out what's coming next.
Yeah.
Because they could get crushed by Netflix. They can get crushed by Disney. They can get crushed by Universal.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Unless you're up on top of it. Look what happened to Blockbuster and Hollywood Video.
There's one left. I think there's
They're like, this isn't going to work. You know, we're not going to go streaming. Yeah, I think someone was going to buy someone. I think Blockbuster was going to buy Netflix or something was going to happen there. And they were like, no way, it's not going to last. And now they're gone. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, look, it's hard all over. But I do appreciate you. I do appreciate studios and streamers getting out there and figuring out what's next for us, because can't make movies unless you know where they're going to go or where they're going to get financed from. And they're the ones doing all the hard work. They do have to pay the creatives, but they are doing the big brain thinking, you know?
Yeah.
All right. So moving on.
Oh, hold on real quick. So Davey Dave, you're going to appreciate this because you know Robert. So the other day, Roberts comes down to Access and Lopez is there and he tells... You know, he's telling about the movie. We got in the movie, blah, blah, blah. And Lopez is getting frustrated. He goes, dude, it's on Friday. he goes, Roberts, what are you talking about? The strike is happening. He's like, oh, no, it's going to be over with on Monday. And we're like, what do you mean it's going to be over with on Monday? He's like, oh, no, it's over with on Monday. But it was so, like, matter of fact. And there was nothing in the news, nothing about.
There was nothing
going on. Lopez and Roberts like, dude, we got to get going, blah, blah, blah. And Lopez got frustrated. He's like, we're in a strike, bro. Like, he's like, oh, no, it's over with on Monday. And him and I looked at each other like dumbfounded. We're like, what's over with the strike?
Mario said, that's very specific.
Yeah. He goes, hey, yeah, for sure, by Monday. So anyways, we really got to start moving. Blah, blah, blah. Sure enough.
Over
Tuesday, right?
It was over Tuesday. It was really over Monday, but they hadn't announced anything. They had already made up their mind. The offer had already been in.
How did you know that already? Because it wasn't in the trades. It wasn't anywhere. And even Mario's manager, he said it's going to go on. It doesn't look good. It looks like it's once it goes. If it goes till another 2 weeks, then it goes
end of the year.
It goes till next year because everything closes at the end of the year, and then it's over with.
It's all business. They had to do it then. They had to do it before Thanksgiving. It had to happen weeks before Thanksgiving. Otherwise,
they're
gone. So if it didn't happen Monday, then it wasn't going to happen.
he said just like that. It was the funniest shit. I know I'm probably not doing it justice, but Roberts is fake. Because he was all talking fast. We got to do it. And Lopez like, what are you talking about? We're in the middle of a strike. I was like, oh, no, that's over with on Monday.
Yeah, no, let's keep moving forward. Yeah, we're going to be good.
In the text chain, someone sent the article, and then all he said was told you.
That's right.
Yeah, they announced it. But anyway, so yeah, we're very happy. The strike's over. I knew it would be. It's exciting to move out of this and into like everyone hugging again. Want to thank our sponsor, extrememusic.com. They are the best in the business. If you're looking for music for your movie, for your commercial, for your series, anything. If you're a professional, if you're a non-professional, go to extrememusic.com, check them out. They have automation. They have thousands upon thousands, maybe hundreds, maybe millions of songs. And they're really amazing. Like, I can't tell you how many times I have gone to them in my neediest times as a producer when I just needed to find the perfect song, and I did, and I've got, you know, three movies to prove it. Like, they were my go-to, and they're terrific.
Yeah,
so extrememusic.com for all your music needs. All right, so in the new season, we're going to do a movie here at Film Hustlers, a full movie. I'm talking about 90 minutes
feature. Yep.
Feature. It's going to be a feature film with great actors, action or thriller or horror. We're going to do it through a foreign distributor. We don't know how we're going to do it yet, because I have never done that, even though I've produced for a lot of years. Tootie's never done it. We've talked about doing it. Davey Dave, we've talked about doing it, never done it. So we're going to talk to our friend Clay Epstein from Film Mode, and we're going to start the conversation with him. So here we go.
Love you too, Roberts.
Hey, love you, buddy. Oh, that's yours. Why do I keep touching your phone?
Quit touching my phone,
eh? Fucked up, dude. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I got Clay Epstein from Film Mode, one of the most successful film distribution companies
in the United States.
I've known Clay Epstein. I used to call him Ball O Clay.
Ball O.
Yeah, he was my assistant back. Like, I'm talking about, like, God, I don't want to even say, like, I'm talking about 1800s. Yeah, it was crazy. But I'm really proud of you. You've become a very successful foreign distributor, and you're a producer, and you've done a lot of cool stuff. So welcome to the show. I know you've been here before, but welcome.
Thanks, Mark. Mark, you were my first mentor, and my first time I got fired.
So
you've been such a part of my trajectory of success.
But Clay, we do know you love him. Okay, we do know you love him.
Like a brother. You have no idea. Yeah.
Great. Thanks, buddy. He's well, great. I chose to call you first because, you know, the show is all about film hustling. and one thing that I've never been able to conquer. It's ironic that you worked with me years ago and you went on to be the successful film distributor and producer, and in an area where I've never been able to conquer. Like, I have no idea, literally no idea. You and I have had, I don't know, breakfast, lunches. Mm. We've gotten together, talked for hours about how we can work together, and it's never, we've never been able to do it because I don't have any idea how your business works. But
I have this half a smirk on my face. You can't see it, but I'm like, the laugh is about to come out because every time we get together and discuss it, you look at me and you say, I have no idea how it works. I'm just going to go back to making movies the normal way.
Well, because it feels, you know, I was telling these guys, I think part of the reason is because I like to do what I want to do. I don't want to be told who to cast. But having said that, this is a business that people use and producers use, and companies all over the world buy films like this. And they're all based on, you know, stars that could be sold in these different countries, and then banks that can bank those names. And, you know, you're gonna have to explain it a little bit. I don't need you to explain it all on this show because we'll get into it in the future. But let's start with what genres of movies are being sold all over the world. And like, if you were to pick your favorite, if you were, you know, you're a salesman, what would be the number one genre that you would want to be selling at the markets?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's important to just say that the majority of the feature films out there that are not financed by the studios, which, what does that mean anymore? You know, because Netflix is a studio also now, are made in some sort of independent financing model. And in the word independent always came and stemmed from independently financed from the studio system. And through the years, it kind of morphed into a genre or a style or kind of a positioning or branding even, right? But it really comes down to how a film is financed. And so kind of putting a project together, I like to say on the open market, right? And some filmmakers do it on spec. Some do it with a company like ours or an established filmmaker, established exec producer, sales company / financial entity. We're on the open market. And when you're on the open market and you don't always have hundreds of millions of dollars of marketing dollars behind the film to educate an audience to go see it, you have to kind of fall back on some tricks and tips to be able to create intrinsic value in a film. And so take example, a brand that a studio is going to invest in, let's say, you know, Barbie, for lack of another film I can think of right now. There's a built-in brand, so there's brand awareness. You have wonderful, huge movie stars, so there's awareness of their likeness. People know who they are by name and by face. It means you can use them on the poster and in marketing. And you have an enormous amount of marketing dollars behind the release. So everywhere you go, while that film's going to be promoted, every time you turn on the TV, the radio, billboards, cross-promotional opportunities, the average consumer knows that Barbie is going to be in the theaters, right? But if a film cost $1.5 million on the independent open market and those filmmakers or the distributor that's going to distribute the film doesn't have the money to spend, you know, maybe they spend 50 grand or 20 grand, or maybe they only spend enough money to create a poster and a trailer, right? And they hope social media spreads the word, but there's no marketing dollars, true marketing dollars to promote. How is that film going to find its audience? And that's why, Mark, you always say, you always want famous actors and famous names, and it's the same five or six guys it's been for the last 20 years. But that's why, because if a famous actor is in the film, they already in some built-in way can promote the movie and help find its audience, as opposed to a film with no one in it or unknown filmmakers and actors.
So are we talking about action or thriller or
horror? Yeah, I guess I didn't. You're right. I didn't answer your question.
Well, that's okay. What you said was yeah. super smart and important. So I'm okay with it. I just want to know which one of those three you like best.
Yeah. So the spectrum of commerciality is a film that on one side is action with famous actors, right? And when I say famous, like liked, tried and true. The world knows them. You know, they walk down the street anywhere in the world, they're going to be recognized. They're good actors.
What's his name?
Yeah, Jason Statham. Yeah, I mean, it's Nick Cage has been in so many independent films, but people still love to see him. He's not the only actor we all chase after, but he's, you know, he always is great in everything he does. And we've lost some of these actors. Some of them passed away. Some of them have been canceled. Some of them have, you know, gotten past their prime and they've retired. Action film with known recognizable cast, genre that is commercial horror films. That's why you see a lot of horror films in the independent space, a lot of action films in the independent space. And when you get into then crime, thriller, execution becomes more and more important. The casting becomes even more important. And then you kind of get into more dramatic films. Drama is very challenging in the independent space. And comedy is very challenging. So you have to have huge cast and you have to have excellent execution. So the further away you get from those commercial genres, the cast and execution has to be even greater.
Right.
That is why we like to work with filmmakers that have a path production to production, but we can work with them early enough to help guide them towards a more, I'm going to say, commercial route, but I don't mean it in a way that they're selling out or not going to be telling the story they want to tell. I know we've argued about this before, but you have a responsibility as a filmmaker to make a film audiences want to see. You're not painting a picture that you just don't need to rely on anyone to help you or spend a lot of money, because you're asking people to invest in your vision, a lot of money, and you have a big crew. And you have all these people working for you. And sales agents work on deferred payment, right? We don't get paid up front. You're happy to pay me up front if you want, but you never do, right? We have to go sell the film into the marketplace before we're compensated. Yeah. And so all of those reasons, the filmmaker has a big responsibility.
Yeah, no. It's a hard business. I don't envy people that are in the indie world trying to make films like this. But I'll say this: mm-hmm. I want to do it. We're going to do it on the show. We're going to prove that it could be done.
Hell yeah, we're going
to. But what I want to say to you: you just saw Beautiful Darkness or a big portion of it, right?
Yes, it's fantastic. Okay. Thank you
very much. That was directed by Tootie and produced by Dave and myself. I think the quality of the movie is superb. It was shot on film, by the way, if you're wondering. And I think we can do probably a lot with a little. So if you were to pick, like if I was to say, I'm going to give you an action film or action thriller that's going to have at least one or two of the names that you're interested in. It's not going to be a Bruce Willis. Like, what would be what would be a number where you think people would be happy? And I'm talking about banks and producers and financiers and people like that. Is $750,000 a sweet spot for these kinds of movies if you're able to get a couple of big names into it?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have your below the line of the cost of production, right? And then the cost of what you need to pay the actor or actors to be in it, right? A lot of times it's uneven, right? The above the line can sometimes be, you know, 50-60% higher or of the budget, right?
Yeah.
Then below the line. So you have to figure out what you can go make the film for and make it look good and realize your vision.
Yeah, but if I did, like, let's say, I'm by the way, I'm throwing out numbers. I have no idea how your business works. Yeah, but if I was to say, I'm going to pay $250 for the leads, $250 each, $500,000 for each lead, and then I'm going to spend $750,000 on the below the line, and then there's going to be like $250 in there for producing and directing potentially. So I guess
do I get
we're
looking. Where's my
yeah? So team? maybe 400,000 in for right. so we're looking at $1.4 million, not including tax credits,
right?
Or let's say $1.25 million, not including tax credits. No, that doesn't make sense. $1.5 million, not including tax credits, and includes producing fees for you and us, a director fee, script fee, and then $250 for each lead. That seems pretty reasonable, doesn't it?
Yeah, most of the films in that space are costing about $1.2 to $2.5. So you're right in that sweet spot.
I want to be at the lowest end.
They're being shot in a tax, you know, rebate state, like Mexico or something like that.
Ottawa. I'll go to Ottawa.
Canada. Yeah. But yes, you're in that space. And I think the films that we're seeing that have a chance in that price range are ones where the filmmakers are really good and have a lot of tips and have a lot of access to equipment and know how to make
something that might
look like it costs much more.
Beautiful Darkness.
Right? Yeah, Beautiful Darkness. Okay, go.
The best way to describe is with the example, and we acquired a film, an action film that they shot in Colombia. And I think they spent, I don't know, I don't want to reveal anything on your podcast, I'm not supposed to, right? But they were able to get enormous production value for a great price. And there's actually no one in the film that is super famous, right? They didn't really get cast per se. They just had great actors. They have a fantastic female lead that's fully trained in martial arts and is a great action star. And the filmmaker wrote, directed, edited, did the VFX. He's kind of this jack of all trades. And that works. That film just about breaks even or makes a little bit of money.
Wait, how much? Okay, give me a ballpark or make it up, but get me close. How much?
Under a million. Under a million.
Jesus. And you got a fee out of that?
I got to be paid to work.
I mean, you got a fee as a producer?
I did not get a fee as a producer because that film came to me after it was completed.
Oh, got it. So if we were to do, okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to keep talking to you about what kind of film we want to make. I think we're capable here on the show, on Film Hustlers, to raise about $1.5 million. I'm going to go on a limb, but I don't want to do that much. I'd really like to do 1.2. I'd even consider going to just down to a million and then have the cast be above that. So we could go to 1.5 if the cast demands. And I think partially a lot of cast would probably want to work with us because of Film Hustlers and because of my history. By the way, I know a lot of talent. There's a very good chance that some of the talent that I've worked with and Tootie knows from the show and Dave knows might want to work on the movie. We just have to get information from you to do what we want to do on the show is do it the way you want to do it, not the way we want to do it, and see what happens.
I'm ready to go. Let's do it. That sounds fun.
Well, we're going to make that happen this year. And I think what the best thing we can do is just sort of stay in contact. Have calls with you about who we're thinking about and make sure that we do it in a way that makes the financier money, makes us money for making it, you money for making it, and you money for selling it. Wait a minute. That's a lot of you. I just said you a lot.
It doesn't seem
fair.
No, look, I mean, it's of course got to be fair. It sounds exciting. I'm all up for it. I would just, you know, you got to think about a concept that's high concept and unique, but in a wrapper that feels familiar, right? So if it's a horror film, it just has to be super high concept, but still a horror film. It needs to know what it is. It needs to be a horror film in every scene, right?
Yeah.
But no more five kids in a van, you know, no more five kids in a cabin, no more five kids at all. Like it really has to be unique and high concept, and that was something that our distributors have been saying to us, you know, more and more, saying, you know, bring us something fresh and different and unique. And they always say that, but they still want it to be the same enough that they know what to do with it,
right?
But they always want to see a fresh take.
Well, because it's a genre, right? Like I know you might not know a ton of about Christmas. I know you do a little bit, but the truth is that those buckets are so... The people that watch Christmas movies are people that love the cheese of a Christmas movie, you know? So the girl who comes into town from the corporate, you know, world to take over, to, you know, do a corporate takeover on the local flower shop, or whatever, and meets the guy who works there and they fall in love, is the same story you're going to see on 90% of the Christmas movies, right? Because people love that story. So is it the same for action? Is it the same for, like...
wasn't a horror film you just pitched me?
It could be.
but we definitely do want to go... Look, what we can do is we can come up with something creatively different than that within the realm. And then we want to make sure that we hit all of the bells and whistles for a distributor. I'm sorry, for a buyer, right? We want to give them what they want. If I get the feeling we can get some pretty good names for $100,000.
Yeah. Well, you can't because you have great relationships, and part of the advantage is the wrong word. Part of the compelling reason that this, whatever you're going to build, is going to have a path to production is it's got great producers.
Right.
Right. Yeah. It's that cannot go unsaid and cannot be underestimated. Right. Well,
thank you. Speaking
that's,
of that,
that's a big part of it.
Well, I've been wanting to do this with you for a while, so I'm excited that you're willing to do
this.
This is
great. I'm all in. You have my team. Nice. I have a sales team. I have, you know, I got marketing. I got everything. So we're ready to go.
This is Film Mode Entertainment.
That's right.
I've always had trouble like with the, you know,
film it's QM. Spit it I'll out. Change. Should I change the title?
No.
The name?
I would consider going film mode. There's something
I like film mode. I never had an issue.
Film mode.
Fillmore. Fill.
By the way, Mark, I love seeing Rick in the short film.
I forgot.
Oh my gosh. I got such a warm feeling. And he looks good and he's still a great actor.
Yeah. That's a great scene. I said, Rick, I'm pulling you out of retirement. You can pull this off, you know?
Yeah.
He did.
He did. Yeah. 100%. I mean, didn't skip a beat. Did not skip a beat.
He even did his patented cry, a little cry. He always has to cry in every scene he's in.
Fantastic.
We're very proud of it here at Film Hustlers because it was our first thing in production. But I am excited about what we're going to do because we're throwing our hat over the fence. We're going to bring in investors that can handle this level of investment. And we're going to try to do it within the parameters of really making money. So I think the idea... on the show, and we want to actually make this successful. So we're going to follow your instruction. We're going to do what you think is the best thing for the movies financially. And then we're going to see if we can't turn like this completely ridiculous business that I don't know anything about into something that works.
Clay, just so you know, he's taking a big step right here by doing this. This is like something that he's not familiar with.
I rant about foreign distributors all the time. I've never met one I liked. Know. I've never met one that took care of me. I never met one that you know, I got to tell you, the only time I ever got paid, Clay, was when I first started. When I did Single Action for like $11,000. You know, he did the movie for $11,000 and it went to, I can't remember the foreign distribution company, but they in the first week that it went to the market, it sold like $275,000, and it was like we ended up spending $100,000 on the movie. It was the only time I actually got to pay a check from a production company. It was the best. It was best feeling, though. I got to tell you,
we send checks all the time when there's money owed. I mean, things have changed as well. There's collection accounts now. There's a lot more.
Oh really? Is it structured? It's structured differently. That's great. That's good.
There's a lot more accountability, and because of the transparency and the flow of information, if a sales agent is not reporting or paying, producers let other producers know.
Good to know. Right?
So there's some sales agents that have, you know, gray reputations, you know, as I say, and some that have great reputations. If anyone does homework on film mode, you'll find that we have a very good reputation. Part of it is because we report and we pay our producers when money's due.
Well, you're a honest man. I know you want to sleep at night because you have kids and you have a wife, and you run a tight ship over there at Film Mode. We know that. We know you have a good reputation because no one talks shit about you.
Yeah.
Look, I'm really proud of you. You started with me, and now you've turned yourself into a successful producer and distributor. So we're really happy to be doing this with you. I have noticed that you did a panel at AFM, which seemed to have all the who's who of Hollywood in it. That was kind of cool.
That was great. I do that every year. There's usually 400 or 500 people in the audience. They always have a moderated panel. There's top sales agents, producers, and people from all over the world. So we had a great panel this year, great conversation. And I think clips of it will be up online. I know I'm going to post a few clips of it on my socials.
Yeah, let us know. We'll post it on.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Instagram, we always get really good feedback. The whole concept is that we pull back the curtain on foreign distribution and packaging and all the areas of making a film that isn't always taught in film school.
You know? Yeah, I hear you. Is it okay? Yeah. We're going to use extreme music on this movie. Is that all right with you?
Yes.
Extrememusic.com. Extrememusic.com. They're the best in the biz. Okay, we're going to do that. By the way, when you finish Beautiful Darkness, all of the music in Beautiful Darkness is from extrememusic.com. Every last cut. All of it.
Well, I need to get on this extreme music.
You do. Yeah, you do. Buddy.
I need extreme music for my own movies and trailers.
I'll tell you offline what I paid, but it was much. You know, they've got this amazing group of composers and people writing music for their site, and you can license it for a fraction of the cost than you usually license. You know, composers and stuff like that, so it's affordable for the indie, so we're really happy about that. Good. And they also sponsor us, and they're our partners.
Yep.
All right, so here's what we're going to do, Clay. We're going to do a virtual handshake. Film Mode and Film Hustlers.
What are you calling yourself? Hustler production.
Yeah, it's going to be a Film Hustler production. Hustlers and Film Mode are, that's hard to say together, actually. I can't even fucking remember what it is. Okay, so Film Hustlers and Film Mode are going to...
Are you listed first?
You're so 1990. Jesus, arguing about credit and who comes first. All right, that's how we're starting this.
Film Hustlers and Film Mode Entertainment present.
I'll tell you what, Film Mode and Film Hustlers. No, I'm sorry, Film Mode presents... a Film Hustler production.
That sounds better.
All right. So Film Mode and Film Hustlers are going to do a virtual handshake, and we're going to get into business together on a new movie, foreign distribution style, which you're going to teach us and everyone who listens to this show, so that if anyone else wants to do it, after we've done it, they'll know how to handle all that business. That makes sense?
Makes sense. Great sense. Right, cool. I'm excited about this.
And then Tootie, myself, and Davey Dave are going to raise the money for the movie right here on the podcast, just like we did for Beautiful Darkness.
Once again.
We're going to do it again, but this time it's going to be between $1 and $1.5 million, maybe more. I mean, you never know. Maybe one of these investors will step up a little higher. But I think we should go below the line $1 million and cast up to whatever the best...
And how does it work? People call in, or pledge a certain amount
No. We're going to go to big investors. We're going to go to people that've got the whole amount
that
in
have
their
money.
Pocket. Yeah, people that have it in their pocket. Yeah. And then if we need some pre-sales, which you'll have to talk about on the next show. We didn't talk about it here, but we'll talk about it on the next show. How pre-sales work and how that all happens, and what we would have to do to put the package together where it would be attractive to...
Right.
Pre-sale market.
And keep this date in mind. So the next film market we go to, that's where we do most of our business in the pre-sales, is in Berlin. It's the Berlin. European film market, EFM. It's at the same time as Berlin Film Festival in February.
Okay.
So I'm going to get on a plane and go have my schnitzel.
Okay.
Nice. In Berlin, and my pretzels.
If you awesome. If you happen to have any ideas or scripts, things that are laying around that you haven't been able to make or you think would work for us, let us know. Otherwise, we're going to brainstorm. Yeah, we're going to come up with some ideas.
Great. Let's do it. Let's do it together. Looking forward to it.
Awesome, man. Well, Very cool. Thanks for being on the show. Thanks for joining us in our endeavor. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to kill it. And I promise you, you will make more money than you've ever made on any movie. That's our promise.
I hope so. I like this.
Absolutely. Let's get it.
All right, Clay. Thanks a lot. Really appreciate
thanks,
you.
Guys.
All right, Clay. Absolutely.
See you next time.
All right. Love you.
Love you guys. Love you guys. Hollywood 90s. You know,
oh my God. He was still talking.
He was.
Sorry, we hung up on you, Clay. Apologies, but I don't think you'd ever stop talking. So that's it.
We've thrown
our hat over the fence. This guy has 15 jobs. Going to have to figure out how to get here once a week.
I'm streamlining, man. I got to make my ends, bro. Unless I go back to a regular job, then you will never see.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
No, we don't.
But let's figure out. Maybe we can go. We'll talk about it afterwards.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think what's exciting about this is that I don't want to do it because it's scary and it's nerve wracking to make movies at that amount of money. This is the way we're going to do it. He does it all the time.
Yeah.
Right. You guys do it all the time, but it is a little nerve wracking, but I feel like if we do it the right way, that no one's going to lose.
Right.
We're just going to have to bust our asses to do a million dollar movie and
follow the formula.
10 days, 12 days.
Yeah. You know? But people do it all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
People do it all the time with really good actors.
Yeah, and they do it 2 or 3 times a year, some people.
All right, so we're going to make it happen. We're going to come up with the idea first. We're going to write it. We're going to bring in some really good, really solid, smart investors that know what's happening, know what we're doing, and we're going to get them involved. And then we're going to do a little pre-sales for the cast. We'll see how it goes.
But we got to find out what actors pre-sell, right?
Well, we're going to have to talk to Clay and figure out, get his list of 1 through 10.
Yep.
And then that's how we have to hit it. Maybe we know some of them. You never know.
That's true.
All right, guys. Well, I'm excited. Thanks for listening to the show. This is going to be an amazing 5th season. Whatever you listen to here, get your pencils and your piece of paper out and start writing it down, because it's going to be a real ride. All right,
here's the journey.
Here we go, baby.
Let's do it.
All right, thanks, guys. See you next time.
Love you guys.
Love you.